The 8-Bit Misfits.
It is time to press the start button. We are the 8-Bit Misfits. I am your host, Jason Watson. And sitting here with me, as always, is my co-host, James Odell. And today we are sitting with our special guest, stand-up comedian. Can I call you the Brian Bear?
That is my preferred name.
Okay, I am sitting here with stand-up comedy extraordinaire, the Brian Bear. Brian, how the hell you been doing lately, man?
Man, there's a huge audience here. This is really strange.
It's literally just us three sitting in a room. I know. God damn. I think we're actually putting podcasts out on time, on a timely schedule. Isn't that fucking weird? We don't have that two-year gap that we were having before. We got a lot of interesting things to talk about, including a really juicy main topic. So we're going to get right into the fun today. James, what do you got to say about our first introductory topic in today's episode?
Well, I think the main topic's obvious, as it's probably in the title of this podcast here. But we have a few intro topics we want to run through real quick that are pretty interesting. Most of them are universal, and we all have our own stories. First one I want to get to is, when you get mad at video games and people ask why you play them, that personally pisses me off, because people just don't understand that you can't get that mad at a game or anything else unless you really care about it, right? So, and people think, yeah, you know, I'm having a hard time right now, but believe me, I actually do love this shit.
Yeah, I know. For me, I was having one of those moments last night, actually. No one was asking me why I was playing this game, but it was 11:30 at night. I was playing Mario Kart on the Wii U, and I was about to break every fucking thing that I had in my house. And with my wife sleeping. So, yeah. Mario Kart's one of those games that'll fucking do that to you, though, you know? You'll be screaming in first place, and then suddenly you blink, and you finish the race in ninth, right? I mean, you have any kind of experiences like that with fucking Mario Kart or some type of game like that?
Oh, for sure. My go-to, if you catch me yelling in my living room, it's because I'm dying, and then I have to rewatch some stupid cutscene over again. And, like, that's where the save is. There's that. Any sort of NPC escort mission, that is you will hear profanities flying out of my living room. You dumb asshole. You walk directly into those bullets. I shouldn't be responsible for you. NPC escort missions. That is a cuss machine for me.
They make those NPCs just, like, intentionally retarded. You know, like, I don't know how they wipe their ass. They could barely walk from room to room, right?
I can't believe you guys brought that up. I haven't thought about that in years. The worst escort missions. There's never been a good one in gaming history. But when it comes to me, I'm pretty much hate every game I ever play until it's done. As soon as it's done, it's like, oh, that's a fucking awesome game. But until that, I am bitching a fit the entire fucking time through. I bitch and bitch and bitch. But when it's all said and done, you'll actually get an accurate review and description of how I actually felt about the game. I'm passionate. What can I say? I get pretty pissed off, but you know, if I didn't love the shit, I wouldn't be finishing these games through to the end.
Yeah, I'll be playing a game and you'll constantly hear things like, fuck this cock-sucking piece of shit. Goddamn fucking game sucks. Oh my god, this was the greatest game I've ever played in my entire life.
Ten hours later, then you're like, oh, you know what? That was pretty good. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
All right, there's another thing that we can all probably relate to here. And that's acting your games out around the house, or just in general in real life. Now, being personally, I can't tell you how many times I've come around the corner as a Counter-Strike player and general FPS fan and just had that air AK-47. You know, like air guitar? People play air guitar. I play air shooters. I'll be coming out of the kitchen making a sandwich, and I'll have that air AK-47 strafe around the corner. My entire family gets laid out in like half a clip. headshot every time. Of course, it's imaginary, so who's going to argue that you missed, right? We've all done it. We've all imitated the animations. We've all shot air rifles. We've all done it.
The cats, the dogs, everyone's fucking... Everyone's gone.
No one's safe.
No one's safe. Exactly. I mean, I've done countless fucking... I've done countless body slams and pile drivers on my weenie dogs, but that wouldn't that's not necessarily a video game move. It's more like a wrestling move. I've pinned them. They've kicked out. They usually kick out. Or sometimes I'll pin one. She'll sell it completely. I'll hook the leg and pin her, and the other one will come jumping on my head and come in for the save because they like to fucking do the handicap matches, which sucks. But the one of the biggest things I remember about acting out games was when I was younger and walking around with my buddies, two or three of us through the apartment complex at like 6 in the morning because we weren't even high. Like, we didn't even smoke back then. Like, it's weird because we did weirder shit back then than we do when we're high, you know? Fucking weird as hell. Walk around the apartment complex acting like we're Final Fantasy. One step, one square at a time, stepping, attacking slimes and snakes and other shit with our wands. And I always had the shitty weapons because I didn't have enough gold to buy the good shit. It's what happens when you're poor, right? You're walking around with copper and bronze weapons, and your fucking rich buddy's got the gold sword and the silver shield and shit.
The one thing that I act out with complete consistency is the opening fight sequence from either Dead or Alive or Street Fighter, and just constantly do the bump up and down, like, shoulder shrug thing. Anytime there's a group of us standing around, this is usually in a bar environment, like, I will automatically go to, like, Guile waiting to fight. Just because it's, God, what are we doing? We're all standing around waiting for something? It's either that or the Mega Man jump, which is just the one arm up, one arm out, the knee bent. Which I always think is hilarious. It looks good when a human does that one.
Like, really, is that a natural battle stance? You know, it's like, you know, there's some type of weird acrobatics involved in that. When you're jumping and you got the... It's not just the one arm up, one arm out. He's got the one leg cocked. Yeah, the one leg cocked.
He's looking right down the barrel of his arm.
Yeah. And the slide. Remember the fucking slide?
That's not a real life action you can do with... That's like a do it once in the parking lot and then you're bummed.
Yeah, your shit's all scraped up down the side. You're like, I'm just Mega Man sliding. Now I gotta go to the hospital. Yeah. That's a fucked up deal. Do not Mega Man slide. This is a note to all of our listeners. Do not Mega Man slide when you're out on the asphalt because you will have a bad day. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, not a whole lot of us go out clubbing with the Mega Man suit on either. So try to refrain from that. Here's another thing we can probably all relate to. We all have those enemies. There's that one enemy in that one game, even if you like the game, that'll drive you nuttier than fucking squirrel shit. Mine personally, easily, not even questionable, the Red Devils in Ghosts and Goblins. Ghouls and Ghosts for Super Nintendo, I don't care what version, either one. Red Devils... The cheesiest, the worst fucking enemy I've ever come across. The one enemy in mid-level that you fear more than the goddamn boss. It's bad. It's bad. It's programmed to be bad. And they succeeded.
Yeah, enemies. You know, I know for myself, I personally am my own worst enemy when playing a video game. And it's usually...
That's the greatest fucking one of them all, right there.
It's usually due to how much I've consumed during time playing game. So it never fails. One gnarly set of wall jumps will take me out of a game completely. Project Gotham Racing, there's always a point where there's a law of diminishing returns where I can no longer drive this fake automobile. And then you try and jump on Mario Kart and it's still a shit show. So, I'm always my own worst enemy.
And people try to go, you know what? When I drink, I'm a better driver.
Horse shit. Horse shit.
That is complete horse shit, right? Oh, you're a better driver, huh? Here's a Need for Speed, buddy. Go ahead and see if you can navigate these mean streets. Right. can you not get 4 police stars on fucking Grand Theft Auto before you bring the car back home? You drunk fuck. I don't have... I want to... You know what? I was thinking about this topic the other day, James, and I didn't have one singular... I didn't have one... We're leaving that in, by the way. That is not going to be edited out. I didn't have one singular enemy. The original Super Mario Brothers, those fucking Hammer Brothers.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad.
Yeah, because they... You get to a point, and I know it's like around 8-3, you get to a point where they're like, we're not going to give you any more mushrooms. And you need to absolutely keep your mushroom and your fire to get in there to fuck Bowser up, you know? And they put more of those goddamn assholes in your way to block you from getting past that, and they're so fucked up because their patterns are completely random, and
it's irrational. It's an irrational pattern where you're like, you can't judge it nearly as good as a normal pattern.
Exactly. They're not like your normal Goomba or your turtle. They do completely irrational and erratic and random patterns, and not even just with their jumping, but with the way they throw the hammers, too. And those guys are fucked up.
They'll toss one in a jump, and then it'll fall short, and it'll just go, like, it'll arc super high and then come right down.
Even their spawning positions are random.
Yeah, I have a feeling the Bowser has somehow got some CCTV camera system set up, and he's just chilling in 8-4, watching this shit, just laughing his green balls off, you know? But that's actually not the enemy I fucking came up with. The one enemy that I came up with are the Metroids in fucking the original Metroid. I don't know if they had them in Super Metroid, but holy fuck on the Metroids. Remember how horrible those fucking things were if you didn't have the goddamn ice gun where you could just jump on them, use them as a step, and skip them? You have to blow 5 missiles or some shit to even stand a chance to kill those fucking things. They ruined your day every fucking time, right?
Oh yeah, you gotta have the ice or you can't get past them. That's really what it is. Like, pick up that thing or else you're not going any farther.
And then the mother brain is not that hard to fucking beat. I mean, once you bust the glass up and you shoot some missiles at her and she fucking dies. These Metroids fucking destroy your life every single time before you get there. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, they were in Super Metroid, obviously. I mean, it is a Metroid game, but like everything, it was not half as bad as the original Metroid. Like everything is 10 times worse than the original. Mainly due to the fact that you couldn't shoot diagonally. That was the big fuck right there. But, yeah, they were in. They weren't as bad. But the first Metroid is, in my opinion, one of the harder games on the NES, period. So that's to be expected. Our last topic here before we get started into the big meat of things here.
The meat.
You're going to hear that a lot in this podcast. We call it the meat topic instead of the main topic. I don't know. It sounds like it has more protein to me. It's tougher.
I actually want to make a little sound clip where it's just like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, the meat.
The meat.
We just did. That's what we're going to use right there. We're going to isolate that fucking audio. That's what we're going to use to introduce the meat topic. But I know James had one more compelling ball-scratching topic, because so far this has been a pretty good fucking little back and forth here.
One more final category here. All right, if anyone is a real gamer, they've broken a controller. And if you haven't broken a controller, you're not a real gamer. So here it is. The most regretted controller break. Mine is heartbreaking. I have to say, I was over at a friend's house, and this is about 88, 89, around the time they had stopped making the gray NES Zapper for the Nintendo. So, you couldn't get a gray one. We didn't have internet. We didn't have eBay. We didn't have Amazon. You broke your gray Zapper, you were getting a fucking orange one. Unless you knew someone that was willing to give up their gray Zapper, which was absolutely nobody at that time. So what do? I'm playing Duck Hunt, like I always was, and I fail, like I eventually always did. And like any other normal person, you put the controller down, or you hit start and you just give it another go. What do? I take the fucking thing and I slam it into a fucking dresser. Break the barrel in half. Bye-bye, gray NES zapper. We'll never see you again. At least until the internet comes out in our home so we can reorder another one. I didn't see another one of those fucking things for years. Here's the real heartbreaker. It's really fucked up. And I'm probably going to hell for this. It wasn't even mine. It belonged to a friend. And to this day, when I open my closet and I look in there and I see that ugly-ass, bright orange pile of shit laying on top, I think to myself, ah, fuck, if I only hadn't have fucked it all up that one day all those years ago.
I think I kind of honestly relived that moment a couple years ago. When I first got my dogs, they were just pups. And I ended up scoring a gray zapper and a couple NES controllers from someone on eBay or one of my local... I operate a video game trading page on Facebook. It might have been off of there. And it wasn't much. It was maybe $10 or so. And honestly, the gray zappers, I mean, they're rare in the fact that the usual zapper you find is orange, but they're not super rare and worth a lot of money right now. But holy shit, if I didn't come home one day and find my fucking gray zapper cord chewed in half by these adorable little fucking weenie dogs, I'm just like, God, now I want to have a reason to hug you to death, you little asshole. Actually, one of my controller break stories, it didn't really, I guess it kind of broken, but it was more like a controller throw. And this wasn't even me. This was a friend of mine that threw the controller. It was actually his dad that threw the fucking controller, but he was kind of a buddy of ours too. And I was maybe 11 or 12, and we were sitting around playing Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Super Nintendo. And I don't know if anybody remembers the Capcom, I think they called it a CPS. It was the Capcom Pro Stick or something like that. Big, huge fucking thing, probably weighed about 10 pounds. And it was a huge console arcade stick with the three on top, three on the bottom. It had adjustable dials so you could tune the turbo on each button, you know? And, I mean, this thing was cherry. You plug it into your Super Nintendo and you are in the arcade. That's how amazingly accurate and awesome this arcade stick was. And I just remember one night sitting there watching them play fucking Street Fighter 2, and he's trying to throw fucking sonic booms and fireballs with this fucking thing. And I guess I'm assuming it wasn't as accurate as he was thinking it was. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I look up and I see the Capcom Pro Stick go flying across the room. And that thing weighed about 10 pounds. So, of course, the cord's not all that long. Right behind it comes the Super Nintendo as it goes flying across the room also. And they both go smashing into the wall. And as horrible as it was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That is only okay to tell now.
Yeah.
What a sad dad.
Yeah.
Like, control yourself. Be the man of the house around your children. Don't do that.
He just kind of said, fuck you, and just threw the shit across the room.
Oh, we're children. We're way better at you than this.
Even looking back at it now, I'm dying laughing. That shit's hilarious.
Your face is so fucking red. It doesn't even look real right now. It looks digital, I swear to God. Like I photoshopped that shit.
As far as controllers go, original Halo on Xbox, and my buddy, big PlayStation 2 freak, so he would bring over an adapter that would plug into the front of the Xbox, and then he would run his PlayStation controller, and we would play that way. I told him... And, you know, and that's the original Xbox controller, like the behemoth, the, what is it, the fucking Star
it was
Trek.
Awful. I actually saw at a yard sale last weekend, which, by the way, fucking look in your local papers. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, if you want to get into video game collecting, look in your local papers, find yard sales, go to every fucking one you could find to try to find old video games. It doesn't matter what they are, buy them all. I found a fucking adapter for your computer. It was called a Joy Pad or a Joy Pro or something. plug it into the USB, two ports. You can plug the old school big fat fucking Xbox controllers into your Windows PC and use that as a gamepad. It was pretty sweet.
So me, Xbox controller, him, PS, had a really bad match, like a really bad match. And he grabbed the cord and whipped it out of the computer, like, or out of the Xbox, and it just, like, snapped out. And then that thing hit him in the shin, and then it only pissed him off more. And then he grabbed it by the cord and swung it like a mace into the ground, into the tile floor, and this PS controller just disintegrated. And then he was just holding, like, this limp cord, and then he was like, fuck! What am I going to play with now? And I was like, you're going to have to use this shitty Xbox controller.
Are you sure that wasn't me?
Yeah, sounds appropriate, right? I think anybody on a long enough scale of time has definitely maced a controller into a hard surface.
We've actually done that before where we saw how many spins we could get on it before we fucking did the big slam into the ground. I think 5 is the limit, where any more after 5, it's shattering into a million pieces. You know, video games have been a part of all our lives, but they've also had a life of their own. And we can go all the way back if we want to and talk about Pong, or for Wikipedia nerds, I guess there's even a video game before Pong, or some tank game or something that I don't even know if they finished it or not. But as far as video game purists are concerned, Pong is the first original arcade game. And I don't know if, I'm pretty sure none of us have played a Pong arcade game. You're shitting me, really? Mr. Brian Bear raises his hand. You played an actual Pong arcade game?
Very much so. I'm taking you all the way back to when I was 11. And I used to go to Santa Clara for soccer camp because I played soccer. It's not a question. It's a statement. When I was like, I went to soccer camp? And so as children, we would stay on the Santa Clara campus and then in the dorms, which was just the weirdest summer camp ever because you have, like, a great institution that you're at. And in the lobby of our dorm was a Pong, a stand-up cabinet Pong. So I've played a ton of games of Pong. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, that is crazy, man, because, you know, by the time we got arcade, you know, as old as we were able to experience the arcades, that's got to be, what, mid-80s, late-80s, something like that. We were dealing with Final Fight and stuff like that, so
Pong was wildly outdated at the time. That's why it was just in the entryway of this college campus, like, dorm.
Oh, okay. Like, it'd probably been sitting there for about 15 or 20 years. Who knows how long it's been sitting there. Yeah, that's crazy, because I think, God, by that time, they were already putting Pong machines in museums and shit. Like, they were absolute relics. But Pong is kind of where it all got started, and then, as simple as that game is, I'm sure you could still fire up a game of Pong on some type of a system and have a lot of fun with it, right?
Oh, for sure. Isn't that like the premise of Block Breaker on your cell phone? Is just Pong by yourself? And yes, everybody's fucking competitive. I'll fucking play you in Pong right now. If there's a three-way Pong, I'm in.
And that's without the STDs.
Hey-o! That's a totally different game of Pong, my friend. That is a totally fucked up game of Pong. Now, the only Pong that memories that I could have is playing Mortal Kombat 3 and on the Sega Genesis and figuring out the code so you could play Pong on that. And that's about as far into Pong as I get. Because even my Atari 2600, the first one that I played on, I don't remember that we had a game of Pong on there. Breakout, though. I think it's probably the same game that you're talking about on the phone, right? Yeah, this.
Breakout, Block Breaker, Breakout, whatever. They're all the same thing.
Yeah, that's all pretty much the same game. But Pong basically evolved into more and more complex arcade games. At the time, in the 1970s, you're talking the classics. This is when the classics came out. Your Asteroids, your Space Invaders, Galaxian, Galaga, basically Centipede. There you go, with the rolling ball. Yeah, trackball. And I know James can talk about how accurate and amazing is a goddamn trackball to sit and play this Centipede and other types of games on.
Trackballs are actually really amazingly accurate. And the first thing you think when you see a trackball is, oh my god, where the fuck am I? But honestly, it's entirely analog, which opposed to digital is much less accurate. Digital, is less accurate. It's probably the closest thing to a mouse. It's your free hand movement, all five fingers, wrist, which you don't really get out of digital. So for a lot of these old games, that was, in my opinion, ahead of its time, as opposed to a lot of the joysticks, which we still use today. There's a lot more accuracy.
Brian, what were some of the first arcade games that you remember that caught your attention? Those early arcade games from the late 70s and the early 80s. All those space shooting. Every one of them was a space game because it was too much memory to try to animate a background, so they just left it black and added stars. What were some of your favorite space shooting arcade games?
Galaga, for sure. Galaga was dope. You know, both of my parents are complete Centipede fiends. So any restaurant that had Centipede, they were in there playing video games with me, and I was not playing that game with them. So the things that caught my eye were just completely different. Excitebike is by far one of my favorite games, just because it said that... that outliers point for me, where it's like I'm the youngest exposure rate to kind of the coolest thing that's happening. And because my parents gave me a handful of quarters and said, get the fuck away from us. You're screwing up our Centipede scores. So that it was any other game besides what they were playing. And I'm a fiend for a good pinball game too. I like the manual kind of analog tactile touch of like, oh, this is happening now. I'm the timer. So
you hate kind of leaving your decisions to an animation or something, which is kind of the norm with video games. You know, we all want that absolute precision, but of course it was the 1980s. They didn't have games that moved right when you wanted it to move, you know, and with a pinball, yeah, all of that is absolute. That's ball on metal with you flicking metal, moving it. You can't get more precise movement than that.
And that's classic gaming. That's really classic gaming. Besides shooting water into a clown's mouth to like make the balloon blow up faster.
Oh, God. James, any old arcade memories? I know the arcades are kind of long gone now at this point, which to me is kind of sad. You walk into any what they call a traditional arcade, and it's all those goddamn ticket collecting games. That's all they make now are ticket. Yeah, carnival games. That's all they make now. James, what are some of your favorite classic arcade games?
Too many to count. You mentioned something about quarters, and that got me thinking about the arcade era, since we're in the middle of it here. One of my favorite games was Street Fighter II, but hell, that could be said about anybody from that time. And it reminded me of, we have a pizza joint here. I think it's a chain. It's called Round Table?
Yeah.
Ah, shit, I haven't been there in so long. I had to think of the name there. But they had a little room, and it had a few arcades, and Street Fighter II naturally was one of them at the time. And my older brother taught me a trick, and it was really, really useful, especially as a kid, because you didn't have any fucking money. Arcades take 25 cents a pop, which doesn't seem like much, but as a kid in late 80s, mid-90s, that was a lot of fucking money. Quarters didn't come cheap. So he taught me a trick, and this is kind of the evolution of cabinets, too, because they had to fix, you know, security is against this. On the old, really old school machines, there used to be in the change slot, a lot of machines, older machines, have the doors broken off. And this machine did. If you stick your finger up there, you'd feel two thin bars, a little groove in between, empty space. And if you were to take a penny and flick it up there, it would fall into the slot and the machine would register as it was a quarter. And you'd get games for a penny. So I was literally getting 25 games to every game these other kids were in the entire arcade. So when you're sitting there on Street Fighter and likely some kid, probably Asian, not to be racist, but let's be real here, they were fucking good at these games, right? Whoops your ass, you think, oh God, that's a quarter I'll never get back. Well, this fucker can kick my ass 25 times before I even start feeling like I've lost anything. I had it made, dude. Those Asians could lay waste to me. It's fucking, I'd go all day long.
Really, around our arcade, it was always a little Mexican kid. Yours was an Asian, mine was a Mexican kid. God, yeah. James was the original game genie. I guess you could say, right?
Very true.
James was the original fucking game genie.
Well, like I said, my brother taught it to me, so the credit would actually go to him.
He was like that little...
I'm Game Genie, too.
He was like that little booklet that comes with the Game Genie, technically, in the order of things. So moving along here in the history of video gaming, you move from the arcades into the first kind of home console cartridge system that sort of replicated the arcade feel at home, and to me, that's got to be the Atari 2600. One of my all-time favorite systems, pretty much any of those classic games that was in the arcade, was brought home. Missile Command, Asteroids, Centipede,
Pitfall.
The very first that I can remember, I don't know if there was another game besides that, to me, that was the very first action platformer. I mean, Pitfall, right?
Oh, shit, yeah, Pitfall. And some snakes. And give me a bag of gold. But yeah, I'm in all the way on Pitfall. My first home console, I think, is kind of like the evolution for... or the progression for whatever happened next in video gaming was doing it at your own house. In television, where you slided the cartridge into the controller had a disc and buttons on the side and then instructions on the cartridge you were pressing on that you pushed into the controller, which, you know, as far as durability issues, that doesn't seem like the way to, that doesn't seem like the way to do that. But, those games, that's where you first kind of see your first, 1865, like scrolling, bombing mission games, which are, as an 8-year-old, amazing. Like, I'm destroying pixelated humans. Like, something special there.
Yeah, it reminds me of games like 1942.
Yeah.
There were 1865. I thought that's what you meant. I was like, holy shit, they had jets back then? Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
1865 seems more like, I was thinking, oh, it's Oregon Trail. Right. Clearly, we're destroying oxen in Omaha Beach, right?
You have dysentery.
I don't remember getting bombed in Oregon Trail. Huh? And 1942 was one that was memorable to me, but when you go back and play it, oh, God, what a pile of shit, right? It seems like it runs at about 10 frames a second. It's fucking bad.
Now, I know we could probably sit and talk about the arcades all day long. I'm thinking maybe we could devote an entire episode just talking about our favorite arcade memories and stuff throughout the years, because...
And I guarantee we will.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's just a really deep subject, but... I mean, moving along past the arcades, past the Atari 2600, and our first home consoles, I'm just going to get right into it. I know how excited I was the Christmas year that I got my NES. When I opened that package, Super Mario Brothers, everybody wanted to see it. Everybody wanted to play it. everybody wanted to go on our little magical adventure in the Mushroom Kingdom with Super Mario. What is your first memories of the NES, Brian?
It's straight out of the arcade and into your house, and because it was the dual stand-up arcade cabinet, had Excitebike and Mario. Yeah. And so then that was at my house. My first photo bomb, before that was a real thing, is there's just a regular Christmas happening, and then I jump in front of the camera and I'm holding Super Mario Brothers 3, and I just jumped in there while my mom was burning film trying to get a happy family moment. But it's true, every, you know, grandpa, grandma, everybody wanted a piece of the action when you ditched the cabinet and it was a set top thing right there for everybody to enjoy. No quarters, just instant gameplay.
My earliest moments with the NES was watching my older brothers and sister play everything. But when I got the chance, I do believe my first NES game was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Not a good game to start out on.
No, that isn't a very good game to start out on. That's a very difficult game.
And my brothers warned me when they loaded this up. They were like, you're not going to do well. And I saw them fight Tyson, and I was like, give me the code. I want to fight him. It was Mike Tyson. He was big back then. And they go, okay, 5 seconds, done. So I ended up getting into the game after that, started with Glass Joe, which is a much better idea. And I worked my way up, and because of the whole hype of them, oh, you can't do this, and they couldn't do it, nobody ever beat Tyson, I was competitive from the get-go, so I said, I'm going to beat this fucking game, even before these older fucks. Fuck my older brothers. I'm going to do this. And I don't know how long it took. It probably took several months, but my perception of time back then, who knows. But one day, I remember turning it on. My friend Tony was with me, and I fucking did it. I was playing, I was practicing, and I finally beat Mike Tyson. All the way through, no rounds lost, from Glass Joe to Tyson.
At the time, you were what, 17, 18 years old?
More like 7?
Yeah. I'm just saying, that's how long it takes that game.
It seems like it at first, like, is this even possible? Did they test this shit? It is possible, and I pulled it off at 7, and when I did, it was such a huge deal. To any 7-year-old, it would be. So my friend Tony gets on the phone, and he calls his sister, and he's like, you're never going to believe it, but James just beat Mike Tyson on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And naturally, she's like, what the fuck are you calling me for? We have limited minutes. This is 1988, 89. Yeah.
She's telling him this is 1988.
I don't want to fall short on my boyfriend this week because you fucking beat Mike Tyson. I don't give a shit. Click. That's about how that went. But my God, it made our day, dude. That was probably my week I was floating on air.
Do you have any classic Mike Tyson memories, Brian?
Worst cutscene of all time? Fat guy riding a bicycle?
Yeah.
Pass.
Wow. That's pretty harsh. That's a pretty harsh criticism there in the face of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. My brother has beaten Mike Tyson in the first round, and I sat and fucking watched that, and I'll have people dispute me, no, it's not even possible, because you have to dodge so many punches and all that shit to be able to get your first punch off. And I sat and watched it, and this was not like something, oh, God, legend that we did back in the day. I fucking sat and watched it like maybe 10 years ago. Like, this was very recently that he did this.
That's impressive, because that takes pretty much a pixel-perfect fight. You cannot make a mistake. I don't know exactly for sure, but I'm pretty sure you have to do it without getting hit. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't have enough time. It's precisely programmed for that. And I give him kudos. As a matter of fact, I would buy him a box if they still even make the things. I don't know. I haven't seen him for fucking years.
What kudos? Yeah. Yeah. Kudos are fucking delicious. They were fucking good. I was like, all of a sudden, oh, we're talking about cereal bars. Oh, okay. All right. We're no longer talking about Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Now we're talking about an actual food, and it's delicious. Holy shit. So we've gone off track a little bit there with the Mike Tyson. Oh, God.
Podcast, who cares?
Yeah. 007-373-5963. Just in case anybody needs to know Mike Tyson's phone number.
It's not displayed on screen. That was literally like he had never stopped looking at the fucking code. I couldn't have done that.
Yeah. We lived by that. Actually, I would like to search Google right now and see if anybody has 007-373-5963 tattooed on them as a memorial tribute, because that's like the legendary fucking code in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
If you Google search that, I guarantee there's tattoos of that.
People are just fucking insane, you know, but that's an entire subject in and of itself.
You're insane, too, because you have a fucking Mario mushroom on your left or right, Kev?
Yeah, and, yeah, you're right, I do, and right below that, I have a fucking Atari controller. So, yeah, I'm pretty much, I got the Generations tattooed. That's kind of my favorite game in the NES, one of my favorite original games. God, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3. I can't even get into how many of my favorite games are played on the original Nintendo. Mostly platformers, Mega Man. Fucking Duck. Castlevania. DuckTales. DuckTales!
Yeah, DuckTales was the shit. When DuckTales came out, that felt like our generation's next gen. Where it was like, this game blows out all the other games out of the water. That was the most highly coveted issue of Nintendo Power was the DuckTales maps.
Oh, dude, Nintendo Power. Dude, fucking Nintendo Power, brother. You just uncovered a grave right now. I've got a lot of Nintendo Powers laying around somewhere. Holy shit. Dragon Warrior, man. Fucking Dragon Warrior. I don't even know where to go. That's one of my first NES games that I remember playing. I still fucking play that game sometimes. I still break it out and play Dragon Warrior if I get bored. It's really that fucking good and it's that memorable for me. What are some of your guys' favorite, as we're getting ready to wrap up this era of the evolution of gaming? What are some of your guys' favorite Nintendo? I don't know if you've played around with the Sega Master System. No? James? A little bit? So I guess if one of your favorites, it probably isn't, but it's a Sega Master System game. We could talk about kind of your favorite 8-bit games as we move the evolution of gaming from Nintendo into the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, kind of that 16-bit era. James, I'll start with you.
A little bit on the Sega Master System. Was there an RBI baseball on there? The only experience I remember on there was a home run derby, and I think it was an RBI baseball. My God. Dude, that was so great.
My memory from the Sega Master System is Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, God, dude. But as far as the NES goes, Balloon Fight, I already mentioned that. Mega Man's I kind of got skipped out on. I also mentioned that. Blaster Master. I know there was some... A Bubble Bobble. I can't believe I forgot that in the last episode, because that was one of those games I would go to... I would dream about it at night. Like, I was that into it. I have fond memories of Kid Icarus, even though I remember almost nothing about the game. I know it intrigued me. I'm going to have to load that up. But Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, and I don't care. All the controversy against that game, I loved it. I don't care about the day and night cycles, whatever. It was a lot different. It was more like an RPG, and I later on discovered how much I loved RPGs, and now I understand why I liked that game so much. It was different. It was more of an RPG than a platformer.
Yeah, that really is a pretty good game. Brian, what were some of your, real quick, what were some of your NES favorites?
For early side scroll was the Ninja Kid. Rarely played. A friend had it, and then I traded him like Muscle Men for it because he wasn't into it. And for whatever reason, like Muscle Men for an 8-bit cartridge at the time seemed like such a swaggy deal to me that like I played the shit out of that game. Good side scroll. Two that were really big was definitely Mario 3. It was so wildly different. Again, like that was our new platform. It seemed like it was always like 8-bit gaming is so much different now. There's 16-bit games that don't feel as cool as Mario 3. And then Ninja Gaiden, which that's a, you know, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we just got back from the bars and you challenge me to beat that before the sun comes up, I'm in. Like that's a total like we can just do this. You're gonna jump in here and help me beat this fucking game right now.
Yeah, we should do that some night. We really should. We should get together and try to beat an incredibly hard game together one night.
Yeah, and that's one of them. I'm in 100%.
That is definitely hard enough to make the cut.
10-year-old me agrees with 35-year-old me.
Yes, that's what makes Brian right there.
I bet 35-year-old you is probably hitting up 10-year-old you for tips and tricks, right?
God, I could say that about myself. Almost 32-year-old me sucks at Mario Kart compared to, what, a 10 or 12-year-old me or whatever it was when that game came out. All right, we're going to wait till, we're going to go ahead and give you part two, because we're running a little late on time today, to get into sort of another era into video gaming history, 16-bit gaming. I think we should probably wait till another podcast because that is such a huge topic that we could get really in-depth with. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, TurboGrafx-16. That is a huge topic in and of itself.
And you haven't hit the 2000s yet.
Yeah, and then after that you're talking PlayStation 64, Sega Dreamcast. I mean, it's we're going to go on and on and on. And we're going to give you guys pretty much the history of video games from a gamer's perspective. So, I guess that's a wrap. Brian, you got anything going on lately?
You can catch me every Sunday night in Tulare at Haffy's downtown. It is the comedy basement for the Central Valley. I encourage everyone to come out to that. And also catch me on Facebook. It's dr.brian.bear. And at the Brian Bear on Twitter. Thanks for having me, guys.
Holy shit, you're on the Twitter. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm also on the Twitter. Big Funny Bird, hit me up. I don't know if we're linked. I don't know if we're tweeting or twatting or whatever the hell. It sounds dirty. I don't know. That's about it. It's been another great episode, guys. It was a lot of fun sitting here to talk about the evolution of gaming. For Jason Watson and James O'Dell, we are the 8-Bit Misfits. And we are loving to hate the games that you love. Check out the 8-Bit Misfits on Twitter at twitter.com/the8bitmisfits. Follow Jason Watson on Twitter, twitter.com/bigfunnybird.